My brother and I were sitting in a restaurant, and he said, hey, Roger, see those old guys over there? That's what we're going to look like in 20 years from now. And I looked over there, and I said, Tommy? He said, yeah. I said, that's a mirror. We grew up. As they begin to hand out the notes there, we've been talking about this series is about love. In fact, the title of the series is Love, Love, Love. And we talked about phileo love, which is a Greek word, one of the Greek words for love. It means brotherly love. Last week, Pastor Lori talked about storge, which is more of a family love, a love that a mom has for a child or a dad has for a child, and it kind of spreads to the family. This week, we're going to talk about agape love. And I think the greatest pain that I have ever experienced in life, even though I've had some physical hurts, I don't believe that the physical pain was the greatest pain I've ever had. I think emotional pain has been the greatest pain that I have felt in my life. Is there anybody like me that maybe emotional pain outweighed physical pain? The greatest pain that I felt is the pain in my own heart. And that pain comes from, usually it could be from expecting love and getting something else. Expecting love, because you're made for love, and then you get something other than love, it's painful. I'm not alone. I think everybody has had a snootful of something other than love when you expected it. It could be, here's rejection, for instance, is a bad replacement for love. But to really get rejected when you have an openness for love is very painful. And it can create a sense of damage inside of your own psyche. Abuse is that way. When you have put your heart out to be loved and then suddenly you're abused instead, that's very, very painful. So abuse can fill the heart up even more with more rejection, abandonment, untold pain and heartache. How many of you remember, you know, like in a little grade school, you write down, like there's a little guy, he's writing a note, so I like you, I love you, do you love me? Check yes, no, or maybe on the box. If you get a no, it's like, oh, because the longing to be loved is so powerful, isn't it? The longing to be loved is powerful, and the heart is made to experience love. I love pizza. Now, pizza doesn't love me back. I love pizza, and I love music, and some of you love baseball and sports, right? So you can enjoy the taste of pizza, admire the talent of baseball players, or get into the beat or the meaning of a song, and that constitutes a level of the word love that we use. I think that should be spelled L-U-V, just kind of the lower end of it. And then to move up to loving an object, an object maybe to a puppy, you know, something that there can be a relationship. I don't know if you remember the movie that Tom Hanks was in. He had a soccer ball named Wilson, and he built a bond with this soccer ball. And when Wilson floated out to sea, Wilson, he said his heart was ripped out of it. Tom Hanks is a good actor for that kind of stuff. And so, but you know, you can have a little puppy that you love, and you just, you know, or a cat, or some kind of a relationship with animals like horses. I had horses when I was a kid. All kinds of stuff around. You can go through grief when they die because there's a relationship, there's a bond that happens there. And then, of course, the next level is where you get people involved and you start to build relationship with people. Your family bond in the forms of brothers and sisters, like we mentioned, the storge love. And by the way, the word storge is not actually in the New Testament. It's the opposite of there, which we talked about last week, and that's the word heartless. Heartless. To not have love in the family is to be heartless. And it says in the last days, there will be heartless people. You're seeing more and more of that? Just heartless. They're so consumed with something else other than paying attention to what they need to be paying attention to in their family. And it just creates this hardness of heart and heartlessness. Going a step further, there's, like I mentioned, there's the brotherly love. The Greek word for brotherly love or phileo was mentioned 25 times in the New Testament. And it's a kind of a step up from, I would say, from Storge. And then there's this other one, this word eros, where we get the word erotic. And I want to tell you, this is really an interesting piece of history about this word. Just as in our culture, lust and things like that have really come in and taken over. In the early early heathen cultures, there was such overt sensuality and such a kind of a defiled sense around the word eros. I think even Plato and Aristotle tried to come in and like make it better, trying to say the emptiness and the need we feel to try to like make it more of a different kind. But the culture ripped it up so bad that that it's not even mentioned in the Bible. The passionate lust of the heathen, that kind of stuff's mentioned in the Bible. But no, there's no effort to take a word that's already damaged so much and try to use it in a kingdom sense. And so guess what? Agape was literally formed out of the, I guess you say, the bosom of a brand new religion. It was, there's a thing called the Septuagint, and it's the Greek Old Testament, and there was three times that the word agape was used just in there. And so it kind of came out of there, and it was like this word just sitting there. God, you know, he can plan stuff like this. He planned this word, and Jesus came along and took that word. And this word is an amazing word. It means, see, it's a word that it's God's love. It's a love from God. You couldn't redeem the other one, but then when they brought this one in, agape love is the love from God to his children. It's an empowering love that endures, that restores dignity to the human heart. And tell you what, you have, let's go ahead and take a peek at what that definition of that love in the Bible is, and then we'll move on. But let's go flip over the back of your notes there. I'm going to read it. This is 1 Corinthians 13. And every time the word love is said here, it's the word agape. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three. And the greatest of these is love. I have a slide, the next one. I'll go ahead and pull that up. So let's look at this. Let's call agape love number one. Number one love. This is the number one category. It's the number one category of love in the kingdom of God. It's the love that never fails. So the number one love finds its source in God alone. Tell the person next to you, it didn't come from you. It didn't come from you. You're not the source of agape love. You're not it. You're not it. It's only in God. It can be given to mankind, and mankind can return it to God, and you can give it to other people. It's not from you, though. It's not your agape love doesn't have its source in a human origin at all. God is love. He does not merely love. This is incredible to understand. This is a major, this is one of those revelations when you get it, your head goes poof, it blows up. Because God doesn't love, he is love. He doesn't merely love, he is love. God is love. Let's say it. God is love. God is love. Get that down in your gullet there. God is love itself. It is who he is. Everything God does flows out of his love. Next slide. Agape love modeled by Christ is not based on feeling. Rather, it is determined, it's a determined act of will. Wow, it's a determined act of the will. Joyful resolve to put the affairs of others above our own. a joyful resolve to put the welfare of others above our own. Next slide. Agape love involves, everybody say faithfulness, commitment, an act of the will. The essence of agape love is goodwill to others, goodwill, benevolence, and a willful delight in the object of love. Here's the thing about God's love. Ready? It's not that you and I are lovable. But here's what happens. His love makes us lovable. His love received changes the receiver. His love is not based on your merit or your lack of merit. It's that you got in the way of real love. You just happen to show up around real love. And real love loves. It doesn't do anything else. It doesn't reject. It doesn't do anything. Love, God is love, and love loves. So if you got something else, you didn't get the Lord, you didn't get Father God, you didn't get Jesus, you didn't get the Holy Spirit, you didn't get love, then it's not from him. Because he, everything he does is motivated out of the power and the depth of who he is. He is love. Man, I just want to praise the Lord. Whew, he is love, he is love, he is love. I have two slides and it's one verse, actually three verses in the Bible. 1 John 4:7-10 says, Beloved, and this is all agape, to term agape, let us love one another, for love is from, this type of love we're talking about, this is not phileo, it's not storge, it's not eros, this is agape. This agape love is from God. It's from God. And whoever loves agape love, whoever loves agape, because you can't get it out of yourself, you got to get it from God. Whoever agape loves has been born of God and knows God. That's why it says this. It's because the origin of the very love, agape love, is not from human source. It's from God himself. And if you love the way God loves, guess what? You know him. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God, just look at this really good. God, let's just stamp this on our heart. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. See, the power of the love is coming through Jesus. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins, a sacrifice for our sins. Let's just praise the Lord. God is love. Oh, hallelujah. 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 So let's call eros and storge and phileo, let's call that, those are love number two. Each of these finds their origin in man. However good, their origin is not from God. So here's the thing. If you're always looking for love out of some source that's not God, a God source, you're always potentially disappointed. Because people say, well, I love you if. And it becomes, well, if you're good. And now it's a performance thing. You can never get saved on the basis of your performance. You receive Jesus and what he has done. His performance is the only performance. And there's a free gift that comes, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then when the love comes in, it needs to be expressed. And that's where the works come in. It says, you're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's where agape comes through. God pours it in, and it comes through. I'm gonna pick on Joan here. Joan. I told you I might use you. She said I had permission. Joan comes up to me I think it was a Wednesday night thing, and she's or Sunday morning, somewhere. She walks up to me and she says, I just want you to know that I have never been loved so purely by a man in my life as I have been loved by you. And I shoot my little flare prayer up. What's going on, Jesus? And he says, that's my love. She's feeling my love, the Father, the love of the Father. And I looked right at her and said, you're feeling the love of the Father through a human vessel. And the tears, there's something, just a weight just broke. Because we don't know. Hey, look, you can come and actually be a transmitter of the love of God. And people go, I don't know why, but you guys care about me. I don't even know why. Hey, look, hey, if it was left up to me, we'd all be in trouble. Because I run out, but I keep going back. And you know why we worship like this? Because you see, I know that I have like different things in my house that if you don't plug them in, they don't work. That's why I plug in. I plug in. I lift my hands and I plug in. And every heart is just like a little kid comes up, Daddy, Mommy, holds the hands up. The same in worship. Daddy. And suddenly you're lifted up. And things begin to happen. And you have a whole new sense of life and love. And you have a sense of perspective and refreshing. And all kinds of things begin to go on. Just because you have that encounter of the agape love flowing. Did I say the next? What's the next slide there? So, okay, back up. I'm going to talk first. Now, just go ahead and let you fill this in. Go ahead and fill this in. By the way, no, take it off. Take it off. I got one more thing. No, Philip, no, leave it. Okay. Wait, let me tell you this. Let me tell you about agape love. One more point. I wanted to make sure. I've shared this a while back, but there was a pastor friend of mine. We were in a Starbucks, and we were doing kind of a journaling, a little devotional thing, and he looks over at me, and he says, it was a word of wisdom for me, and he said, he's talking to a group of pastors, and he says, there was an attractive lady in our church, and I began to minister to her, and the Lord said to me, Wayne, you can minister to her out of your love and she'll get attached to you, or you can minister to her out of my love flowing through you and then she'll get attached to me. We have to say that again. Is that good? See, we want to always get out of the way of this incredible love. I don't want people, look, I am not God and I don't have the resources of God, but I know He does. God has the resources of God. There have been moments I lay hand on somebody or pray for somebody, and suddenly all these things shift and all this good stuff, and the God fills up your heart and your mind with a sense of what He's doing, and you understand things, and just loads of pressure come off of their life. It's all kinds of things. It's good stuff. It's agape love. Everybody say agape is good. God's love is the best love. It empowers. Let me say, even in a marriage, you know, a husband looking for, Heather and I had to figure this out, a husband looking for the love of God in his wife, and she's not the source. That's a burden. And a wife looking for the love of God in the man, it's a burden. You can't get that love. That's why marriage needs God. Because there's a love that both can draw upon to bring to the relationship. And that's how He planned it, see? Okay, let's go ahead to the first fill in the blank. First fill in the blank. Agape love reveals your sin without condemning you. Isn't that wonderful? Agape love reveals your sin without condemning you. I love this. And now look, let's take a little peek, if we can, this morning, through the eyes of Peter. Actually, his name was Simon, and then Jesus gave him a name later on. So this is when he first met Simon. This is when Simon Peter, basically what happened is this. He comes walking up on the shore. He says, hey, can I borrow your boat? And you know, never is it revealed in the Bible that they ever caught a fish without Jesus' help. So anyway, you know, you never see that. It's always Jesus getting a miracle for these guys. So, you know, he does a miracle and the boats are just, you know, full. There's two boats. They're like overflowing with fish and the nets are ripping and they're just back down. And this impact of this miracle does something. And in the middle of that sense of goodness from God upon Peter, there's a light that's shining into his very heart. Something else is going on. And there's a light that's beaming in to Peter's inner being in this moment. And he comes before Jesus off of a catch like that and falls on his knees. And he says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Agape love reveals your sin without condemning you. Look what Jesus says. He says, everybody there was astonished by the catch. And Jesus says, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. Here, he drops to his knees with a full sense of his sin. And Jesus, the next thing he does is declare to him his purpose. Agape love. Agape love always brings about. This is the beauty of who Jesus is. You know you're a filthy, rotten sinner and loved to pieces at the same time. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You can be all messed up with everything and yet have hope because God loves you. Here's the point. God loves you right where you are, but baby, he loves you way too much to leave you there. Isn't that right? Amen. Way too much. He loves. He loves and brings you along. There was this before we get to the other fill in the blank, I want to tell you the story. They were having the communion, I guess you saw this, the Last Supper, and they got up from there. And they got up from there, and this is the night before Jesus is taken by the soldiers to be whipped and to be crucified and all. And so, by the way, that right here, this is Matthew 26, verse 30. It says, and when they had sung a hymn, Jesus sang songs. How about that? Go, Jesus. And then they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter says, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter says, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. And what happened? Everybody needs to be refreshed in the story. They were all there, and as the soldiers came up and they took Jesus, and Peter did pull out his sword and cut off this guy named Malchus his ear, and Jesus sticks it back on for him. It's like, what are you doing, man? And they all run like crazy. They lickety split. So they're hiding out, and there's some people, you know, warming themselves. Peter comes up, and this little girl goes, hey, aren't you one of them disciples? I think she's from Southern Galilee. He says, no, blankety blank, blankety blank. He starts cussing. No, blankety blank, no, blankety blank. He's cursing. He's pulling out a sailor routine now. He says, even though he's not a sailor, he says, I got military guys. Yeah, I know that, but I know all the words in the military manual. Anyway, so he's failed. He's three times. He lifted up his heart and swore that he would not deny the Lord, and went and did it. Let's look at this, number two. Agape love reveals the limitations of your human weakness in order to refine and prepare you. Agape love reveals the limitations of your human weakness in order to refine and prepare you. Well, we're not done with Peter yet. We're not done with Peter at all. Now, I want to mention to you, we're going to follow through with this little experience that Peter has with Jesus. I want you to know this, that Jesus has already appeared to the disciples two times before he meets them at the Sea of Galilee. Now, I want you to wrap your head around this. Peter has seen Jesus resurrected, and still is trapped in his grief over what he's done. He's still eaten up inside. It's rough on him. And so Jesus shows up, and there, in fact, it's so bad that Peter says, even after seeing Jesus in his resurrected body twice, just get a hold of that. That didn't do it. That didn't do it for him. Jesus needed to do something for him. So what happens? They're out there fishing, going back to the very beginning. I'm going to go do something. And they're still not catching a fish without Jesus' help. And this person, this unidentified person, shows up on the shore and says, throw the nets out on the other side. Where have we heard that 3 years ago when they almost sunk our boats with all the fish? And what happens is they catch 150-something fish. They even counted those, and they come in, and they point out it's Jesus, and Peter jumps out of the boat, and they're all coming up, and he gets on the shore, and Jesus has some charcoal. I think it's a cool thing. I don't know why, but I just think, how many of you know the smell of charcoal? Do you know that Peter had a snoot full of charcoal smell when he was cursing? Could you imagine walking up to Jesus and there's that charcoal fire on the beach and all that's come right back to his mind? Oh my God. It doesn't say that that's what happened, but you can imagine smells bring up memory really powerfully. So he finishes, they finish eating, and then Jesus says this. Now here's the flow of it. When they'd finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now notice what he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now he uses the word agape. But notice he doesn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon, son of John. He's speaking to him. Jesus is almost rubbing it in. He's saying, you're human origin person. You're the Simon, son of John. Do you, agape, love me with the love that only God can give you? And he answers, are you more faithful to me than these? Are you more committed to, because he's gone out fishing with the guys. Do you love me more than these? Is your love for me unconditional, more than for your friends? And guess what Peter says? He says, you know we're friends. He uses phileo, he uses the other word. You know we're friends. And Jesus again, and he says, feed my lambs. And then he says it again. Do you love me with the love that only God can give? I don't know what he actually heard when he heard that, but do you love me with the high and lofty moral agape love that comes, calls for the character that you don't have, but I can develop in you? And he says, I love you like a brother. And Jesus says, are we friends? Do you love me like a brother? And Peter's so grieved. Can I tell you what's going on here? He's grieving out his weakness and limitation before Jesus. He's grieving it out. He comes, he's grieved, and he, you know everything. You know everything. You know that we're good friends. Feed my sheep. And then he says, Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. And he was prophesying to him of the death that he was going to die. Now, this is really backwards to our way of thinking, completely backwards. Because this is how we would say it. We would say, when you were little, when you were young, people dressed you. You didn't dress yourself. And people took you where you didn't even want to go when you were young. But when you became older, you went where you wanted to go. We would say it back the opposite way of Jesus. We wouldn't say, you know, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted to. And when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry. It's backwards. What's going on here? Is this wild to you? When you were young, didn't you get help dressed? You didn't go anywhere you wanted to, right? And then when you got older, you went where you wanted to go, right? So Jesus has reversed it. Jesus has a different vision of maturity. It is the ability and willingness to be led where you would rather not go. When you grow up, the Lord says, you're in this little building down here. I want you to go to downtown and take that building. And you go, I'm not a contractor. I don't know anything about this. I am way over my head. But you said so. We almost quit the ministry several times because of the stress and pressure and pain and all this stuff, right? But we did it. We're here now. And the Lord has said he's going to bring families, broken families, healthy families, every kind of family. Just bring families. God's doing a new thing among us. Let's go ahead and praise him for it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I don't know who you are, but then this very moment, you have felt a hope concerning God in you that never was there before. You have a hope that God can do something for your life that you didn't even consider that he could do. That hope is a life-giving hope that Jesus Christ puts in your spirit today. Don't let the devil steal that, because if you make the course corrections in your life, God's going to cause you to go from one degree of glory to the next and bring you out into a great place. There's a hope injection that's happening. Praise the Lord. Lord, we just ask that there would come in the securing inner work of your spirit to secure the soul with this agape love that has more for us than we could ever imagine. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to go, before we go to the next fill in the blank, I want to tell you this last little part of Peter here. Peter, you know, in this moment, he's getting the grief out of his failure in front of Jesus. And the word phileo is used 25 times, and the word agape is used, or a variation of it, is used 116 times in the New Testament. Eros is not mentioned, and storge is not mentioned. So there's a good quality about being friends. There's a good quality about being friends and about having a bond. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. In fact, it's a stepping stone that you develop good friends and have brotherly love with people that are heading in a godly way. It's a wonderful thing. So Peter deals with his heart before the Lord, and he says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. He's reinstating his assignment into him. So much so that Jesus feels the freedom of the work, what's going on in Peter, that he actually tells him how he's going to die now. Peter has actually locked on to what his purpose is in Christ at this moment. And then he does everything that Jesus asked him to do from that moment on. Isn't that wonderful? Have you had a moment where you've been so disappointed and God does such a good work in you that you say, I ain't never leaving Jesus again? And that's what happened there. That's what happened there. You, out of your own fleshly weakness, tried your best and failed big time. And God comes and meets with you, and you realize, if any of this is going to happen, it's going to be because you're doing it in me and through me. Amen. That's agape love. That's the power of agape love. It's from God. It goes into us. When it goes into us, it can return to God. It can come out and impact people. And you're the conduit of it. It's his life in us. So Peter's getting the hang of this. On the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit comes. He preaches for 3,000 people come to the church that day. In Acts chapter 5, listen to these words. Just verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were, look at this, it's like Jesus was walking around, except it's Peter and the disciples walking around. Many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Point number three, agape love leads you into God's purpose for each season of your life and equips you for it. Amen. Agape love leads you into God's purpose for each season of your life and equips you for it. When the Lord says, I want you to do something new, guess what's coming? The anointing and capacity that agape love will bring you to accomplish it. He says, doesn't say, go and do something I'm not going to equip you to do. He says, go and do something. You might stretch, oh my baby, you might stretch, but it's going to drive you to trust in him to do it. Let's go ahead and, if you don't mind, stand together. Let's go ahead and stand together. And I don't know what could have hit your heart. It may just be the reality that there's a hope that you're beginning to have in your heart that you didn't have, that what the Holy Spirit camped on right there. It could be the fact that there's this really, real simply, from the first point that the Lord's saying, I've revealed your sin without condemnation, and I want you to let go of it and be loved out of it. And that can happen up here. You may be dealing with a certain thing. You might have hit the wall with a certain limitation. And the Lord says, I'm going to help you grieve past that moment and come into what I designed you to be. Isn't that true? Is he good? He does that stuff, right? So let's go ahead. Would you lift your heads toward the Father? Father God, we want to thank you for your agape love, your unconditional, faithful commitment to us that's always constant forever and ever. We receive it. We receive your love for us. Would you join me in praising him for it? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray for the agape love to bring healing to the heart. We pray for the agape love to help cause the power of the blood to be just releasing things of sin that are burdensome. We just ask for your grace. And Lord, as we come to the end of this moment, I just thank you for everyone. If there has been a hang up over not receiving love the way it needs to be received, I pray that the powers of rejection be broken, that the powers of abuse be broken, that those kind of things, abandonment, be broken today, because your agape love overthrows. The Bible declares it, perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out human weakness. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody said amen? Amen. Amen. If you want to receive prayer, come on up. You're dismissed.